There's a hurricane coming. You have to cancel revival. God knows all things. Amen. Let's continue to be in much prayer this week once again. I think I was telling somebody at the door. I said, you know, hurricanes is one of those things. You don't want them to hit where you live. And you almost feel bad at times because the meteorologist there, they'll be like, you know, it's good because it's hitting down in South Carolina. You don't want it to hit anywhere. Amen. That's the thing. You don't want it to touch anybody or cause any damage. But nevertheless, we do have these natural things that happen in this world, but we're able to pray. The main thing is, somebody asked me before, when you hear about natural calamities and things that go on, what should you do? I said, number one, search your heart. Amen. There's nothing wrong with preparing yourself. We preached on that several months ago. If you remember, Jesus made reference to the Tower of Siloam falling and killing, I forget how many people it was. And the message after that, God simply told him, Jesus told him, you need to repent. Search your hearts, because you never know. You're not guaranteed another day. If it be by death and some natural disaster, or if it be in a car wreck, or just some disease in your body, or whatever it is, you need to be ready to go. Amen. So search your hearts. And we'll trust God just to be with us once again. We will not be having revival this week once again. And I apologize for that, but everybody, I'm sure you understand. Go to your Bibles today, book of Psalms chapter 18, the book of Psalms chapter 18. And I'm going to be reading one verse of scripture from there. And I've got another verse I'm going to read to you. You don't have to turn there, but we'll just trust God to help us here today. Psalms chapter 18. Amen. And while you're turning there, how many is just happy to be saved? Amen. How many loves His Word? Thank God for the Word of the Lord. And I do trust that God will minister to you today. I will already tell you, I say this, my intentions is I don't plan on being long this morning and preaching. I do want to do some praying. I know last week we didn't get in the altar Sunday morning. We had communion Sunday night. And so I feel like it's important today we pray in these altars some and trust God just to meet the needs in our life. We'll pray about the hurricane, pray about your own life. And I trust today, the title of this message is titled Leaping Walls, or Leaping Over Walls. And it's found in Psalms 18 in verse 29. It says this, "For by thee have I run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall." Amen. I'm going to read it again. "For by thee have I run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall." Amen. You don't have to turn here, but you find this identical verse one more place in the Bible, and that is in 2 Samuel 22 and 30, where David is writing about his victories and deliverance, and he says these same words, "For by thee have I run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall." I'm going to go ahead and tell you, if you ever see me physically leap over a wall, you know it's God. Now, I bet I could probably say that for many of you as well. I remember in high school, they had hurdles. You know what they are on the track? And I remember, I've never ran track or anything, and I'm sure you probably put that together. But nevertheless, I remember one time they told me to go out there and try to jump them hurdles, and I tried one time, and I'll never try again. I'll never try again, as you can probably guess the end result of that. But today I want to talk to you about leaping walls. I'm going to trust God to help us do that here this morning, that God's going to help somebody get over something. Amen. God's going to help somebody get over whatever it is in your life, whatever the wall may be. I believe by the end of this service that you can say that you have leapt over that wall by the strength and the power of God. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Lord, help us today. We ask you in the name of Jesus that you would come by, that you would bless your people. Lord, I thank you for the anointing that I already feel in the service, the unction to minister. God, I believe that through you we can leap over a wall. We can run through that troop, God, whatever it is that may be standing in our way today. I know that you can make a way. I know you can just do a mighty thing in our midst. And I'm trusting you to do that today in the name of Jesus Christ. We love you with all of our hearts in Jesus' holy and divine name. Amen and amen. Here, when we read this verse in the Bible, it is very, reasonable to think that David is most likely referring to some city that God had allowed him to conquer. as he began to run through a troop, and you look that up, you study the wording there, it actually means to break through a troop, and he talks about leaping over a wall. He's talking about a great victory that God had given him. Though we are unsure exactly what David is referring to here, he doesn't give us a specific example of what city it was or what wall it was that he jumps over. If you most likely there in Psalms chapter 18, the title heading of that lets you know he wrote this after he had been delivered from the hand of Saul. That's what most commentators agree on here. We also today can understand this, that you and I can leap over some walls today. Of course, I'm not referring to the physical. As I've already told you, if you see me out here running and jumping over a wall, you know once again that there is a God that can open a Red Sea and that can knock down Jericho walls. But I do want to focus today on the truth behind this text. The Holy Ghost gives us insight to something here in this very simple but often overlooked verse in the Bible. If I was to kind of just tackle the spirit of this verse, I would basically probably say something like this, that great obstacles can be overcome when God is with us. Great obstacles can be overcome when God is with us. We serve, church, a God of miracles. Do you still believe that here today? Amen. We still serve a God of miracles who can do things that are outside of natural ability. We read all throughout the Bible and we see God doing one thing after another, amazing us, showing us His power, showing us His glory. It even says in Psalm 77 in verse 14, "Thou art the God that doest wonders, that hast declared thy strength among thy people." Our God still can do wonders, church. I do believe that we need to see more of these wonders. I do believe that the church needs to see a fresh vision of what it is for God to do mighty and great things in our midst. I know I've shared this with you here before, but it would be amazing to you and to me and to this community what just one miracle would do if we were to behold something right here. Imagine once again somebody coming up here who'd never seen before and their blinded eyes would be open. Don't you think that would get somebody's attention? We need to see great things in these last days. It is a simple Sunday school principle that God is a God of miracles. But I want to show you something here today, that there is a distinguishing in the Bible. There are different types of miracles in the Bible. And of course, you already probably know this, but let me refresh your memory. There are events that are not so much supernatural as it is God using natural things to get something done. How many would agree with me today that going to the Red Sea and the Red Sea being opened up and as a wall on both sides, how many would believe that that's a unique and supernatural thing? That nobody can say that they did that, it was not human ability. That is what I would call one of those uniquely supernatural things, that God does something without the aid of human ability. But when we look here in the book of Psalms as well as 2 Samuel 22, we see David leaping over a wall, and this is still a miracle, but it's not God using the sea or doing something without man. This is actually God empowering man to do something. Yes, it is still a miracle, but it's not a miracle to the sense that it's unaided or God doesn't use a human instrument. There's times in life that God will use a person to do something that is supernatural. Once again, the Red Sea opening, only God did that. He did not have to have humans to do that. But we see these other miracles, such as leaping over a wall. He empowers a man to do something that is special. This is the principle I want to get across to you. There are times that God just does something without us, and there's times that God uses us to do something. We've got to separate those two, because I believe we need to see these things once again. We need to see the supernatural. We need to see the empowering where God takes us in these feeble frames of ours, and He uses us for great and mighty exploits. That's what it says in Daniel 11:32. It says, "But the people that do know their God God shall be strong and do exploits. It's much like Caleb there in the Old Testament. Though he is old, an older man, he said his strength had not been diminished, and he's ready to take that mountain. I believe God can still give us supernatural ability and strength to do the will of God in these last days. It is tempting, brothers and sisters, to give in to the natural and say, I cannot do that, or I cannot do this, or God cannot use me to do this. I want to let you know today, God can empower you, and if you know your God, you can do great exploits. God can use you to do great and mighty things in these last days. When the Lord first called me to preach, He had to call me before He heard me, because I thought to myself, I had only spoken in front of a group one time. And that one time was to give a 7-minute presentation for my senior project in high school. And it was the craziest, most nerve-wracking thing of my life until I had to preach. And I thought to myself, God, I don't have ability. I didn't have a high school education. I almost didn't have a high school education. And to be honest with you, as much as I squandered in high school, you might as well say I didn't have a high school education. I'm just now trying to go to school to learn to do things a little better and to be a better pastor, to better serve you here and things like that. And God is helping me there. Not that I didn't have the ability to learn, but I never applied myself in my early years. And I remember when God called me to preach, I thought to myself, Lord, I've never been to a seminary. I've never been somewhere where I've had some sort of special degree or special training. All I know is that I was blind and now I see. All I know is that I was lost in sin and now I am a Christian. I was saved for 2 months and I'm already in the pulpit. And you're talking about what a mess I thought that was. But I'll tell you what it was. I still didn't feel like that first sermon I preached was a whopping whole 7 minutes. Brother Matthew, you did superb on his first message. I promise you. On my little desk there at the house, I've got a little picture frame where my first notes for my first sermon were there. And I look at those notes, I can barely read them. And I remember sitting on the front pew and saying to myself, Lord, I'm going to trust you. And I left the notes sitting on the front pew. And I'm going to be honest with you. When I got up there preaching, the notes were right there. And I thought a few times to act like I was feeling the Lord and go down there, ask somebody to close her eyes and go grab them notes. But I will tell you this, the second time I preached, I began to feel the anointing fresh and anew. And then the third time, the first time I ever felt the divine anointing of the Holy Ghost, it was in a nursing home service in Hartford, North Carolina. And I thought to myself, God, I feel something here that is bigger than me. And God reminded me there, it's not going to be my intellect that is going to carry me, even though I can grow in my intellect. It's not going to be my ability to learn this or learn that. It's going to be my ability to be empowered by God Almighty. There are men today that are in pulpits that have great knowledge and great ability and to even write books, but they're just as dry in their spirit as last year's bird's nest. They're just as dried up as cracker juice, and just, there ain't no juice in a cracker is what I'm trying to tell you. They have knowledge, but it's all up here. But God, what do we need in these last days? Do we need sermonizing? No, we do not. Do we need another orator in the pulpit? And that's fine if God has that ability and He's given that to you. No, what does He need? He needs men and women to do great exploits, to be anointed by the power of the Holy Ghost. Well, this is what I was born into, brothers and sisters. I never was taught nor raised that you could educate yourself into a calling. I was taught, get full of the Holy Ghost and preach His word. And when you're full of the Spirit, you will do the will of God, even when it's not rational, even when it don't make sense, even when it don't add up on paper, even when the money's not in the bank account. You can do great things for God when you have been anointed of Him. Church, we need to be anointed once again. If we focus on the externals as far as man's ability, we are no different than David's father and his brothers and Saul, as they're looking at David and saying, you are but youth. There's nothing that you can do. But I'm telling you, God can raise up young man like Brother Matthew, and He can send him across the world, and he can blaze a trail. He can take anybody in this room here today, if you're yielded to Christ, and He can help you to run through a troop. He can help you to leap over the walls. We don't need to yield into the religious mindset of the day that it's just going to be some sort of outline or some sort of system, or it's always going to be in the bulletin that we're going to get something done. No, it's when you've been empowered by God Almighty. That's what's always separated the Pentecostal church. We believe God can use us. I mentioned this last week, and I think I did, yes, that Brother Powers, you know, has a ministry there in Africa, and he was over there drilling a well in Kenya because there's a drought over there, and they need water, and I think it's like $20,000 to drill a well over there, just getting the equipment out here to these, getting equipment out there to those very isolated areas, trying to drill these wells. And he said there was nobody. He had a shovel and he was digging, and all of a sudden he felt something bite him in the leg and looked down, and it was a big old snake that was underneath a pile of the stuff there, some of the working material. And he said instantly he began to get frantic, and he said all of a sudden the man that he was there with, and this is how excited he was about this. He's calling me from Africa about this. And that ain't a cheap thing. And I thought it was mighty funny. I looked down and said, why is he calling me? I knew he was in Africa. He said, Brother Derek, I've seen a mighty thing happen. He said, the man told me, go get in the truck. You've been bit by a poisonous snake. And he said, the man used the word cobra. And Brother Power said, when I heard that word cobra, I'm getting worried and frantic. He said, but I'm sitting there in the back of that truck. He said, the nearest hospital is 60 miles away. And he said, the man driving keeps looking back there and saying, is it swole up yet? Is there any redness around it? He said he pulls up his pants leg and there's two fang marks. He sent me pictures of it. He said, no, I just see these two holes where the fangs went in. About another 10 minutes, finally, that man driving asked his co-worker. He said, he must be delusional or something. Look at his leg. And that man said, there's nothing there. There's nothing there but two little dots. What are you saying, Brother Derek? I'm saying God can still protect you. You know, there's two ways you can look at that. Maybe when the snake bit him, God prevented venom from going in them, or number two, the venom did go in them, and Jesus is the ultimate anti-venom. It depends on how you want to look at it. But can God still do things like that? Yes, He can. Yes, He can. I encourage you, and I often miss the innocent times of just picking up the Bible, reading it before you knew all that other stuff. I'm be honest with you, there's a few times I picked up a commentary, and the Holy Ghost would deal with my heart and said, are you going to believe that commentary or believe my word? Because sometimes if you're not careful, and I understand there's original language and we do need to be honest with the text and what's God saying, but it's just as plain. And some of those chapters in the Bible, God does mighty things and nobody can explain it away and nobody can do away with. Why? Because He is a God and He's a God of miracles. Brothers and sisters, you can still leap over a wall today. There are times in life you just know it's God. David's leaping over a wall. It was beyond his ability. David knew it and God knew it, but through God's divine help he was excelling over natural things, and it was by the power of God that he was doing so. Somebody else, man, looked at David breaking through that troop and said, my, look at David, he's such a warrior. There would have been somebody that watched him scale the wall of the enemy and maybe would say, man, David's a good jumper. But David didn't feel that way. David didn't feel like he had any ability over somebody else. He didn't feel like he could jump higher than somebody else, but he would point to God. And as he's running through the troop and leaping over the wall, he's giving glory to God for what God is doing. Brothers and sisters, that's what we need to do. Realize that it's God that is keeping us going. I could ask you today, what walls has God helped you to leap over? Anybody ever came to a wall before and you wondered, God, this is in front of me, how in the world can I get over this? And all of a sudden you get to running and you get to praying and you get to asking God for strength, and next thing you know you look in your rearview mirror and say, that wall's back there somehow. God's got me over the other side of this thing. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, this walk is still practical, yes, but it's supernatural as well. It's not natural for you to hold your head up in a fallen world. It's not natural for you when you get a diagnosis from the doctor that says you ain't got long to live or you can't get better, but yet you put on a smile and you know that God's going to keep you. What is that? It's God helping you to leap over a wall. What event, what circumstance have you overcome? And others may say, my, what a strong person you are. And you stop them and say, no, this is God keeping me. This is God helping me. This is God preserving me. Brothers and sisters, that should be your disposition as a believer. You're not keeping yourself. You're not making it on your own. But it's He who is helping you to make it another day and another week. Have you leapt over the walls of sickness? Have you leapt over the walls of bitterness, rejection, hurt, pain, and temptation? You're leaping over walls like the hurdles and giving God glory for what He's doing in your life. I've told you this a few times, but just give you an update on that pastor I know in Maryland. Brother Perry Gross pastors a church there in Cecil County, Maryland. And he's had cancer probably about 5 years now. And matter of fact, he's got a little thing that he carries around with him. And he says, I'm a cancer survivor, but I still have cancer. And it is, they're giving them stuff because he should have been dead a long time ago. He's had a procedure here and there. Yeah, he's taken the chemo, and it just kind of dumbfounds the doctors because every time he goes back, they have to give him a good report. Now ask him, how you doing? He said, well, you know, my feet hurt every now and then. He said, I'm trying to keep mobile. And he even said this, I listened to a sermon he preached recently because he don't preach as much as he used to, but when he preaches there, they kind of put it on the internet and let you listen to it. And he's there talking to his congregation. And he walks in the doctor's office and they said, how you doing? He said, well, I'm doing pretty good. I just got these two buddies called tumors hanging around and they just won't leave me alone. That's how he thinks. That's how he talks. He hadn't had a negative moment to where I could see it. Now, I'm sure his wife might tell you something else. I know there's probably some private battles that he's learned to win. But what's keeping him going 4 or 5 years later, it is the mighty exploits. It is the empowerment. God's helping him to leap over the wall of cancer. And that's what we need to see in our day. We need to have testimonies of God's faithfulness in these last days. I want you to understand this today. David's not testifying that God removed the wall. A lot of times that's what we think needs to happen in order for us to be victorious. God, you're good if you remove that wall. God, I'm going to be all right if you remove that wall. But you say, no, God, you can give me the strength to leap over it. You ever heard the old song that says, oh God, don't move that mountain, but just give me strength to climb. Because if you move that mountain, I might go weaker and weaker every time. But when we scale the mountains and leap over the walls, we know that God is doing something special for us. God did not bring down a supernatural ball and chain and demolish the wall, though He can. But rather, God empowered him to scale the wall. There's a difference in the faith. You ever heard about faith that moves mountains? And we pray, God, I want to see this mountain removed. I know, God, you can do it. But there's times God will never move the mountain. He'll simply give you the strength to climb. Go in your Bibles to Isaiah 43. I want to show you this principle here this morning. Now, I want you to look in your Bibles because I think it's important. You can highlight these verses. Write them down in your spirit. Let God help you today. Let me show you the difference a little further in Scripture here tonight in Isaiah 43. Look with me in Isaiah. It's a very commonly quoted portion of Scripture. It's not always God's will to remove the problems immediately. And some problems at times may never seem to go away. But Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 1 says, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, he that hath formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, what will he do? I will be with thee. Did God open the waters here? No. There's times, brothers and sisters, you got to wade through the waters of life. There's times you got to get your feet wet, so to speak. There's times you got to look at the rapids and you got to go through them. He said, and through the rivers, and they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And I'm going to stop reading right there, and you can just keep that in your mind. He's telling them, I'm not going to remove the waters. I'm not going to remove the fire. You may have to go in them. You may have to go through them, but I'm able to keep you through. And brothers and sisters, God's not always going to remove the trial. It wouldn't do you any good if you always moved them out of the way. Matter of fact, it would probably do you more harm than it would do you justice. If every time you had something go on, God just opened the Red Sea. But no, he's saying, when you go through the waters, I will be with thee. But then he tells them, they're not going to overflow over you. Now, I don't know if you've, I'm sure some of you have, if you've ever been to the mountains and you ever seen the white water rapids coming down the side of the mountains there. And I've shared this with you before, I'm sure, but I had a buddy that lived up in the Shenandoah Valley there, and he told me to come fishing. And I thought for sure fishing would be that type thing. You grab a fishing pole, you just throw it out there. And next thing you know, he gives me these things called waders, and he tells me to start wade out in the creek. I'm telling you, that water got rough. I could barely stand up. It got about chest deep, and I thought to myself, if I had this verse in mind, I probably would have quoted it. The waters will not overflow thee. He's out there comfortable. I'm out there trying to survive. That's how I felt. But I'm telling you, in life, the water may feel like they're going to overwhelm you. They may feel like they're up to your neck and you're about to go down. But God again has given you a promise. You may feel the currents. It may even move you a little bit. You may feel like you're about to drown. But he said that they shall not overflow thee. You're going to survive what you're going through this morning. You're going to survive it. This is the promise to every believer. I was on the phone yesterday with Crawford. He called me. And he said, I'm up here. He said, I'm in lung failure. And it's a process he goes through. He said, they're going to get my lungs right and I'll go home. He starts crying. What can I say to you? What can I say to him as a pastor? It's one of those things, I'm careful not to do this. I don't always say, well, I know what you're going through, because at times I really don't have a clue. And put a bookmark there. Sister Cousins, many of you remember her when I first came here. She was an elder lady in a nursing home, and she reminded me of that. Every time I said, I go there, I stand by her bedside. Sister Cousins, I said, I understand. She said, no, you don't. And I said, I'm sorry, sis. And I get to pray, I said, Lord, and I would talk to her. I said, sister, I know. She said, you don't know. She said, I've been here like 5 years. You don't know. And I said, well, I'm sorry. God knows. She said, God knows about it. I said, good. Found some common ground. I talked to Crawford yesterday, and I don't know what it is to be in the hospital. Maybe I think he's 50 times, whatever, how many times he's been. I don't know what it is to always go in there and have to get my lungs reconditioned. But I can tell you this, Crawford, as I told him on the phone, God can see you through it. God can see you through it. You may be walking through the waters, but it will not overflow you. You may be going through the fire, but you shall not be burned. My, I think of the Hebrew boys right there in the fire, but God can protect you even in the fire. One writer said, God will let you go through the fire, but do not fear. Doesn't matter how hot it gets, his hand is on the thermostat, and it knows just how much you can take. Third thing I would have you notice today, what is a wall? As we read the Bible and we can study lessons throughout life, walls are more than just brick and mortar, even though that's what they are naturally. But walls restrict us. You ever felt restricted in your walk with the Lord? You ever been what we call a dead end? Dead end? Detour spiritually? Matter of fact, I don't know what the population is this time of year. I don't know its geographical location, but we've all been there. It's called Wit's End. Couldn't give you directions exactly which turn to make. But I'll tell you this, humans find themselves getting there occasionally. That's what he tells us in Psalms 107. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble, and they are at their wit's end. I've been there a few times where all of my wisdom, I was at the end of the rope, and all I could do was trust God. That's what a wall is. It's things that are in our way. There's some walls that are smaller, and man, you have to jump over them. But there's other times the walls are bigger, and they're intimidating to us. But God gives you the ability to jump over them. Walls are something in the Bible, even though it's brick and mortar, it represents those things that can hinder us. And I don't know about you. If you're looking for good company, I don't think I'd pick a wall to hang out with. I mean, they're pretty cold in their personality. You ain't going to get a whole lot of response. And if you're silly as some people, they get mad and they hit them. That don't work out either. I knew a guy one time, we're outside of IHOP years ago, and his girlfriend broke up with him just before I was married, and those complicated dating years. And that girl kind of figured out she broke up with him. We were at IHOP, and there was a big old brick wall there. And all of a sudden, he turned around and punched that wall, and I was like... And the wall didn't make a fuss. The wall didn't say anything. But man, he balls up, and he's in my hand. I said, what'd you punch that wall for? To be sure, she ain't worth you breaking your hand over. That ain't gonna make anything any better. Amen. But what I'm telling you is this, walls can be hindrances. It's those things that are cold, that have no life in them. But notice this is David's experience. He had a testimony. He's done leapt over some walls before. He's leapt over some lions. He's leapt over some bears. He's leapt over some giants. He's done leapt over Saul. He's done leapt over Absalom. He's been through a few wars. He knows what it is to jump over a few things. Is there anybody else here in this room knows what it is to get over a wall and how good it feels when you're on the other side? What stands in your way? What wall stands before you? Can I encourage you to look in your past, to see the walls that you've already jumped over, and know that God will do it again. He can help you to overcome anything that is within your life here today. I'm going to show you one more thing, and we're going to pray here today. I read to you from Psalms 18 and verse 29. This is what it says again. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leapt over the wall. I told you already, it's the same exact verse found in 2 Samuel 22 and 30. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God I have leapt over a wall. And there's no difference at all in the wording. Do you agree? But there's only one difference. And the difference is the books that they are found in. 2 Samuel chapter 22 is a song of victory for David. Then you go to Psalms chapter 18, and the book of Psalms is a song of praise still. But there's three ways that the book of Psalms applies to us. And many commentators do this. Number one, when you read Psalms chapter 18, you can say that's what David was going through. The second thing you can do is you read what David was going through and you can apply it to your life. You can say, this is how this song can help me overcome what I'm going through. And the third thing we do with the Psalms is we call them messianic Psalms, and we apply them to our Lord and our Savior. There's many times you're reading through the Psalms, and even though David's speaking this, it is actually a prophecy of what Christ is going to do. And reading this, I was reading different commentaries about Psalms 18, and many of them agree that this is still a messianic psalm. And I was thinking about Jesus. Don't you think Jesus leapt over some walls? Aren't you glad he did? Because he leapt over them, you're running right behind him. And through the Spirit, he gives you power to leap over them as well. Number one, Jesus leapt over the wall of sin. And I want to let you know here today that you can get over the wall of sin as well. I'm going to just tell you, you look mighty silly if you keep running into the wall and trying to run through it. God can help you get over it. And God can give you strength. Did Jesus get rejected? You can run over the walls and leap over the walls of rejection. Did he leap over the temptations of Satan? Yes, he did. Did he leap over the world and worldliness? Yes, he did. But all of us have one wall that all of us are going to face, and he's considered the last enemy. It's called death. Did Jesus leap over the walls of death? Not only did he leap over them, he demolished it. And then anybody that's in Christ Jesus, when you come to that place that you're going to leave this world, you can say, through Christ, I can leap over a wall. Stand to your feet if you would this morning. Brother Derek, how do you know We can leap over these walls because it tells us in Romans 8 and 35, he says, nay, in all these things, 8:37, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, you can leap over it, nor life, you can leap over the obstacles of life, angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. There's no height. How many knows there's some high walls? There's no depth, there, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You can leap over a wall. As my wife goes to the piano this morning, you can leap over a wall. Church, I wish at times there was a way, and I'm sure you would agree, don't you wish there was just some big button you could push somewhere and everybody that had cancer was just healed? Don't you wish it was that easy? If I knew there was such a button, I'd find it. If there was something I could do that there would never be another abortion of a precious baby again, I'd find that button. If there was somehow I could tell you that you would never have to experience pain or suffering or rejection ever again, I'd find that button. But I'm going to tell you, there is no such button. There's walls in life, but God can help you to leap over them. Even when it comes to death, the great enemy, you can leap over him. I was thinking, meditating, and praying about all the good examples that are set forth before us. And if I had time today, I would. I could take you to Hebrews chapter 11. Show you how Abraham leapt over a wall. I could go through the hall of faith and show you he did it, he did it, she did it, they did it, and I'll let you know you can do it too. But here today, this morning, we're going to pray in these altars. What walls are in your way? If it's sin, I want to let you know you can get over that through the blood of Jesus. If it's hurt, if it's family, but as you're standing there looking at that wall and you're saying, how in the world can I get over this one? It may be the highest wall you've ever seen before. How can I get over it, Brother Derek? It's simple. Because it tells us in our text, simply says, by my God have I leapt over a wall. You can get over the walls. And God can help you. Amen. Find you a place to pray this morning.